From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show. Hello and welcome. This is The Sod Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. That's if this is Friday at 3 p.m. Otherwise, of course, you could be listening to us on iTunes, on our Audio Boo channel, audioboo.fm, or via sodshow.com. We're just everywhere, you know? Do happen to be listening to us, do spare a thought for our sponsors, greensacks.ie. They provide compostable bags for home and garden. Very, very good product. And you're buying Irish once again, which is always a good thing. This week, we're once again returning to the subject of the humble potato as Peter finds out what an exciting and interesting vegetable, or root, if I'm going to be completely correct, it can be. We've no news this week, so we're just going to head straight to Peter. Peter, where are you?
I'm in Fumbally Exchange, Fumbally Cafe. That's F-U-M-B-A-L-L-Y. It's not a made-up name. In my company is a gentleman by the name of...
David Shaw.
David... You're a potato grower, you're a little bit more than that. Do you want to explain to people what you do for a living, is that or a passion?
Okay, anything potato interests me, and I've spent about 40 years working on potato disease, particularly blight. And then I decided to take more interest in the potato itself and to try to help potato growing by developing disease-resistant potatoes, that is, potatoes that can produce a good crop in the presence of blight, because blight is still a big problem. It's a disease that is widespread, and it needs controlled.
There are many differing views on the genetically modified. We're treading into dangerous, maybe, territory waters here, but genetically modified use of sprays... The blight, as you noted yourself, some may argue of, you know, decent outputs, decent returns. It's never been researched. We have some research ongoing, which is causing mild controversy in Ireland. We may as well note it. How or what are your thoughts on that? Or does that affect, or did that affect your research into potato developing?
Well, no, not really. I think I'm convinced that we need to develop controls. And the control that interests me is a way of combating a blight that does not involve using sprays, using toxic chemicals. These are used throughout the industry to control blight. It usually means that in really wet weather, like the summer we've had, the farmer's out in his field every Monday morning spraying against the blight. So he spreads this chemical over the whole crop, and the chemical prevents the blight pathogen from getting inside the potato plant. So anything that would prevent that kind of excess use of chemicals, I think, is a very good thing.
I always say to people that when I was 5, I started growing plants under my bed. Did you wake up one morning and go, I know what I want to do for a living, I want to develop potatoes?
I think I started just with a general interest in plants. And, I used to grow little trees in pots when I was a kid, and kind of graduated from there. Thought I might be a forester someday, and then I thought I might be a horticulturist growing food, and then somebody said, well, you got to become a botanist, so I did that, and then at the end of that period, then you've got to specialize. What would you specialize in? Well, disease is a pretty interesting area, and I think, you know, if you can solve disease problems, then you've made a contribution.
Are you one of them mad scientists that has a potting shed down the back that explodes every now and again? Or do you have a laboratory where you go in and you put on the white coat and the chef's hat and start brewing up potions and concoctions, and all of a sudden this giant big potato comes out and you go, I've fixed it, I found it, love?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've done all of that. I've got a lab in my kitchen and in my study, My wife doesn't really appreciate all these rotting potatoes around all the time, but it's very convenient because, you know, you can get up early in the morning and have a, you know, a half a day's work done by 11s and you know, you can then do something else. And I like to get out every day and look at the potatoes growing. We grow potatoes on the farm all year round, and they always need a bit of attention. And, you know, you mollycoddle them, you spoil them, you keep them happy, and that's the way you make progress.
For those listening at home, potato on a shelf in a supermarket is potato on a shelf in a supermarket. For the gardener bringing it up a level, there are those who will go in and be buying potato seed in the next couple of months. Potato seed is potato seed, so to speak, and you get what the garden centre stock. Your potatoes differ in what way, or what way makes them better? And I understand there might be a little bit of a repetitive answer here.
Yeah, the potatoes that we've got are very different to what the most potatoes are like that you can buy. If you go to a seedsman, your garden center, you can buy maybe any one of 100 varieties, if you're lucky. And most of these are blight susceptible. So if you had planted these this last summer, you would have been in trouble because you would have noticed that all of a sudden they went black and they stopped producing any potatoes under the ground. And when you came to dig them up, either there was nothing there, or there might have been a load of little marble-sized pieces of potato that weren't any use to anybody. So people are realizing more and more that with our climate of wet weather, pretty frequently we get wet summers. We had a wet summer in 2007. That was a bad, bad blight year. And everybody said, well, that's the blight year over. We can relax now. We can grow all these susceptible varieties without spraying. But no, this year it came back again. But this year it was a lot worse than 2007. And this is probably the worst summer for blight since the 1840s. And it's the same blight, to a certain extent, it's the same pathogen, but we still have it. And in these days back then, they were trying to control the blight in all sorts of funny ways, and they weren't very good at it, so it resulted in the Great Famine.
Pop quiz round, your pub quiz answer, if I was to ask you for a two-line description on what is potato blight.
Potato blight is a disease that attacks the potato. It gets inside the potato plant. It feeds off the potato. It converts potato into spores of the pathogen. We call it a pathogen, not a fungus, because, funnily enough, it's not a fungus. It looks like a fungus, but it's actually a colourless seaweed. And that's the proper way of looking at it. It's got little zoospores. Now, zoospores are swarmers. Zoospores, when the spores land in a drop of water, they come swimming out of the spore, and they swim around until they find a nice place to settle on the surface of the plant, and then they produce a little peg, and the peg is like a pneumatic drill, and it drills its way down into the cells of the leaf of the plant, and then it invades totally, and that leaf becomes just pulp, a blackened mess inside 3 or 4 days.
You've just been barred from the pub quiz team. Can you explain to people what causes potato blight in short?
Potato blight is caused by a combination of an organism, and I said before it's a colourless seaweed, and the combination is with that pathogen and wettish weather. Warm, humid conditions are very conducive to the spread of blight. And if you've ever tried to grow potatoes in an enclosed garden where you don't have wind coming in and drying off the foliage between each shower of rain, then you've got very still conditions, very humid conditions. And if the nights are fairly warm, then that's even better for the pathogen. and it has a field day, it just goes berserk, it goes crazy, and it rots the foliage within 3 or 4 days. So you might go away for a short holiday, or even over the weekend, you come back, oh my goodness, what's happened to my potato patch? I had green potato patch there. But no, I mean, I haven't got it anymore. I've got a black potato patch, and a black potato patch means trouble. It means blight spores everywhere. It means the blight spores will be taken down into the soil with the rainfall, and that will create conditions where the pathogen can attack your new potatoes growing in the soil underneath. So it's a disease of the foliage in the first place, and then it's a disease of your underground crop, the tubers of the new potatoes that are growing underground. They get infected as well.
Speaking of things that are mildly crazy, Niall, it's back to you in the studio, and maybe time for a little bit of a song of the week.
Thank you, Peter. And yes, I have chosen a song, and I think you're going to love it. We're kind of going with a theme here. Not like we're going to start a tradition or anything, but, you know, last week I picked a song from The Blues Brothers, a real feel-good movie from the 1980s, the Ray Charles song Shake a Tail Feather, which is a feel-good song in itself. So sticking with that theme, we're going back to the 1980s to a feel-good movie once again. Remember Ghostbusters? Well, this isn't it. It's Ghostbusters 2. But you remember the bit where New York got cheered up when the Statue of Liberty was magically made to walk into the city? What song was blaring out of the speakers mounted on the inside of the statue as she walked into the city to cheer the city up and fight off the evil demons? It was the one and only Jackie Wilson on The Sod Show with Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher.
Your love lifting me higher than I've desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. You know your love keep on lifting higher, higher and higher. I said your love keep on lifting higher and higher. Now once I was downhearted, disappointment was my closest friend, but then you came and he soon departed, and you know he never showed his face again. That's why your love keep on lifting me higher, higher and higher. I said your love keep on lifting higher and higher. All right.
And welcome back to part two of The Sod Show.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to part two of The Sod Show. That was Jackie Wilson with Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher. It's Niall O'Keefe here in the studio, and
it's Peter Donegan here talking to David.
Yes, indeed you are. Take it away, Peter.
David, can you tell me the name of the potato that you invented? Is that the right word?
Well, it's a process of breeding. The name of the potato family that we're developing is the Sharpo type of potato, and Sharpo is actually a combination. It's a word. It's produced from Sharvari, which is a Hungarian family name, and potato. So it's Sharpo. So the Sharpo means that it's a strain of potato that's been developed initially by the Sharvari family in Hungary, and then latterly by ourselves, and we have a farm, which is the Henweis Research Center, associated with Bangor University. And we continue the breeding there, and we have developed 7 varieties which are resistant to blight.
Would you not have called it Mary, or after your favourite dog, or after your lovely wife, or something along those lines? Would that not have been a little bit easier?
Well, my lovely wife, she's been asking, and why do you call your new variety Sharp O'Shona? Why don't you call it Sharp O'Lorna? And I said, well, I haven't bred one yet, which is good enough to be called Sharp O'Lorna.
You old charmer, you. For those listening at home, we're talking about things, and in a lot of the gardening books that are published in the UK, they appear in Ireland. For those listening from the Landscape Juice Network, it's all right from you, but for those listening in Dublin or down in Galway, sometimes things are mentioned in gardening books, and when you go to the glossary of who supplies them, it's mainland UK. Are they readily available in Ireland?
They are increasingly available in Ireland. In fact, most of the distribution in the UK is done through a seedsman there, and that seedsman happens to be called Thompson & Morgan. He supplies Mr. Middleton. I think most people over here know Mr. Middleton, the supplier of seed and potato varieties, so that increasingly you will be able to get your supplies of the Sharp O types of blight-resistant potato in that way.
For those growing them at home, and there's no better man to ask this, I know before we've spoke to Katie Berto Day, we spoke to Dermot Carey about this, we would have had the National Potato Day at Snarta on the Sod Show as well. Can you tell Mary McGinnity, the stereotypical housewife who goes, I'm sorry, Mary, if you are a real housewife, it's just a fictitious name, Michael McGinnity as well, if you're listening too, if they were to go and buy 1 or 3 or 5 or a pot of potatoes seed type and try and plant them at home, what is the best way to grow one? I mean, you've got Niall O'Keefe there who has a balcony apartment. Should Niall go and get a window box and put some in there? Is that how simplistically it can be done?
Doesn't really matter what your facilities are. If you're gardening in a pot on your patio or on your balcony, you can grow really good potatoes, and you can plant them in a bag, you can plant them in a big pot, in a window box, you name it. You can grow really, really good crops, and quite heavy crops, even from 1 or 2 seed potatoes that are planted in there.
Just not your wife's handbag, Niall. How much does a pot of seed potatoes cost? Curiosity killed the cat.
How much does a pot cost?
Because they're usually sold in a wee little 1 litre pot, and you kind of pour it into the bag. And, you know, I know the last time I bought a wee little 1 litre pot of potato seed, I think I paid £3 for it. Has inflation had an effect on that? Is it because it's disease resistant? Does it cost a little bit more?
No, it doesn't. You can buy disease-resistant ones for about the same price as the ordinary potatoes. But the cost of seed is always quite high because of the special conditions required to grow the seed and to have it inspected. And you have the statutory inspections by your Ministry of Agriculture, and the potatoes are awarded a certificate if they come up to the health and purity standards that are set, so that it's quite an expensive job producing seed potatoes.
Can I ask you, you don't have a very strong Dublin accent?
I don't have a Dublin accent, although I live fairly close to Dublin, just across the Irish Sea, in the northwest tip of Wales, and I don't have a Welsh accent either, but some of you might recognise a bit of a Scotch tang to my, I should say Scottish, of course, but yeah, I came from Scotland originally, and I've been around various places since. But
what part of Scotland?
Oh, around Glasgow. I was a student in Glasgow for about 7 years. So, yep, that's it.
What does a master potato grower and developer do in his spare time so as not to think about potatoes, says you, talking to a gardener, horticulturist, who I suppose, is here on a Sunday talking to you?
Well, you could say not very much. But, yeah, I mean, it takes me more than all my time to keep this show on the road because, you know, and nobody loves the sharp old potatoes in the industry because that means that people won't be able to sell agrochemicals to keep the sprays going. But, you know, we have problems of growing the seed because we're a very small company. We can't really make much of a profit. We want to continue breeding. And there is competition out there, of course. I haven't mentioned this, but your own breeders here in Ireland, mostly at Chagas, down there, and I've got some very good friends in Chagas. They're breeding disease-resistant potatoes as well. And some of their varieties we include in our trials, and we take them home and we taste them too. And we think there are some good ones there, and maybe some not so good ones there, but we all have these too. So we're all in it together, and we're striving to get a better potato and to get a potato that will be more environmentally friendly, more sustainable in growing. And our potatoes, we think, are rather special because they're not just blight resistant, but they are resistant to virus. Now, virus is a very common disease of potatoes. It results in degeneration of the potato. And before you know it, the plants are very small and stunted and spindly, and they don't produce any. Now, how you normally counter that is by buying in new seed. So you have to buy the seed regularly so that you have disease-free stock to start with, and then you won't suffer from virus disease. But the disease spreads, and down in the allotment in your gardens, there's virus everywhere, and very soon the ordinary varieties will go down to virus disease. So ours are essentially very resistant to virus, so that's another problem solved and another reason for growing Sharpos. A third reason would be they are very vigorous. So they spread rapidly, they produce ground cover, you have a hedge of green for all of the season. And if you get it right, you suppress all the weeds. Mm-hmm. So weed suppression is a good thing. It means you don't need to get down your hands and knees and start pulling out the weeds. And if your plot is really quite a big plot, then you don't want to be doing that. It takes forever. And you don't want to be using herbicides. And the commercial boys are using herbicides all the time for controlling weeds. Again, it's not necessary. You don't want to use these nasty chemicals. And that's what we're on about. The final reason why I would recommend people to grow them is that they keep well, they store well. And it's not really well known, but our varieties have a long dormancy. You can keep them in a nice paper bag or in a hessian sack, in a potato sack, in your garage or some other cool spot over the winter, which is frost-free and it's kept in the dark. And these potatoes will survive all the way through until April, May time. In fact, I know growers in Ireland who appreciate the long keeping qualities, and they say that they're still sellable, and these people are selling into the farmers' markets and the like. It can still be sold in June of the following year. So there's a crop which you can start eating in September, and you can still be eating the same crop in June. And you haven't spent a penny in refrigerated storage, and therefore, you know, your energy requirements for storing a crop on a commercial scale would be minimal. So what we're saying is we're producing potatoes that are not only blight resistant, but they are very low in inputs. That means you can make better profit if you're commercial. And it also means that there's a low carbon so that the greenhouse gas emissions are a lot lower than the average potato. If you consider that your average farmer is going through the spraying every week, or sometimes every 4 days, as it has been this recent summer, then there's a lot of diesel there. There's a lot of soil compaction, and that, along with the weed killers that have to be put on and the sprays against the aphids that transmit the virus, and all of these things, actually, you cut down all of that input, and you end up with more money in your pocket.
If people want to find out more and hit the fact sheet on the Sharpo-type potatoes, is there a website they can go to find out a little bit more?
Yes, we have a website, which is charvari-trust.org.
Can you spell that for me?
Yes, I better spell it, because people make mistakes about the charvari. It's actually a Hungarian pronunciation. It's SARVARI-trust. So that should get you. If you Google that, you'll get there eventually. And we've also got a Twitter feed, and we tweet around quite a bit, and that is at Sharpo UK.
That's S-H-A-R-P-O.
No, it's S-A-R-P-O.
Oh, for those who speak Dublinese, that's Sharpo or Savari.
Correct, that's it. That's it, Peter.
Excellent. David, thank you so much for your time. It's an absolute pleasure.
You're very welcome, Peter.
Thanks for that, lads. I quite fancy some chips now. Well, if there's anything that the lads are talking about and you want to find out more about it, all the links, of course, will be up on sodshow.com. Before we go now, just a couple of things.
We are hurtling headlong, precariously and sometimes hilariously, towards Sodshow number 100. Now, at the current rate of knots that we're travelling at, we should hit it sometime at the start of the new year 2013. If there's any suggestions you have for us on how we can mark this special occasion, get in touch with us. All the ways of doing so are on sodshow.com's contact page. Also, if you'd like your voice to feature on the show for any reason whatsoever, head to sodshow.com and find out more about the Audio Boo features, which allow you to record and upload a message for us directly through your web browser or mobile phone.
Now, with November just coming to an end, we're just about to enter December, tomorrow in fact, and that means we are officially into the run-up to Christmas.
And of course, the Sod Show will have a Christmas special in December, featuring Santa Claus himself and possibly some of his elves. I know with the Irish ambassador to the North Pole, Elf Patrick, there a couple of years ago, and Elf Michael D showed up last year. Anyway, they'll be on the phone, and if you've any questions for Santa Claus or the elves, let us know, because we're putting our list together and checking it twice at the moment. And if you've any gardening news or announcements that you'd like read out on the Sod Show, feel free to get in touch via sodshow.com or find us on Twitter, where the handle is @Sodshow. The next time you see a tree or a plant that you like and you want to know more, why not take a picture and send it to our Peter? Get a conversation going.
Anyway, that's it from us for another week. We will talk to you next Friday, 3 p.m. on 103.2 Dublin City FM and on podcasts and sodshow.com. Until then, whatever you do in the great outdoors and whoever you do it with, enjoy yourselves. Take care.